Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as well. J.C. Latham, Mike Brown, Blake Hansen, Bryce Oliver are out for the Titans. Calvin Ridley is going to be listed as questionable. So that's what we have right now for the injury report. Teron Davenport saying that Ridley did return to practice today after missing Wednesday and Thursday, and then Latham and Oliver were on the side field. Hans and Mike Brown weren't out there at all. So they'll be without some key players. Brian Callahan on Tajay Spears said he worked really well the last couple of weeks to get ready. I had a good week of practice. I'm excited for when we can get him back out there.
Yay!
I don't know if that's Sunday or what that means.
Calvin Ridley's the first player on Titans history that his injury report is the same as his ability to catch passes. Very questionable if he can catch a pass over the middle.
So yeah,
it's
funny
because it's true.
I wonder. So Oliver is out. Ridley is questionable. So could that mean JoJo?
Oh, my gosh. Call him up.
Let's look. Let's see. So right now you have Isle Manor, DK, Jefferson, Lockett. Those are your healthy guys. That's four.
Okay.
Those are the healthy receivers. Ridley's questionable. Oliver's out. My guess is they will call up a receiver. So that's either going to be the strep, James Prochet, or Mason Kinsey.
Call up the strip. Look, DK, say, look, man, you're going to be the last receiver. You just worry about returns. You worry about returns. Let's bring up Restrepo. I mean, I'm telling you, man, he explodes. We've wanted this for weeks now. Let's have this happen. Let's have this happen. Can it get any worse? Right? Let's have this happen. Call up Xavier Restrepo. Let him work some magic on Sunday. And why not?
Yeah. Right, look, I'm at this point, I don't care. Try anything. Whatever works. I don't care. I mean, like, it can't get any worse.
Yeah. Do it. I want to see him play. Why not? God, if he gets in the game Sunday and scores a touchdown and
could you imagine?
They win, I will be uncontrollable on Monday on this show.
Let's bring in Chris Sanders. We'll ask him. He joins us now here on the program. So, Chris, we were just talking about that Bryce Oliver is officially out. Calvin Ridley is questionable.
Oh,
so there
God.
Are four healthy wide receivers. Big Joe is on the call up Xavier Restrepo train like no other. What say you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they need a spark in this offense. He's not going to beat you deep or do some things like that. He'll keep the chains moving. But, you know, with the situation that's going on, I mean, in my opinion, I know this sounds kind of crazy. I don't think Restrepo is going to really do anything.
Hang up on this fool, will you?
What is he going to do? He's going to get, what, two first downs?
Hey, it's better than dropping a pass over the middle like Ridley.
100%, but I agree with you on that. But, man, I'm going to get two first downs and move the chains out. What, three catches for 7 yards?
I'll take it because I know he's busting his ass. I'll take it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. I mean, that's a great answer, man. I agree with you 100%.
What do you want to see now that, you know, that Cam has played his worst game, and
that was
last week. He was very outspoken after the game, which I personally don't have a problem with. With what he said, I want a quarterback and a leader on my team that's going to be honest. I know some have had a problem with it. Jeffrey Simmons gave him advice and all these things. Now, what does the response need to look like?
I want to see growth. I mean, I want to see growth of just having good interviews and everything. I want to see growth of, you know, leading this team to getting some points. Because you look at last week, it wasn't just the offensive line. It wasn't just the secondary. It wasn't just other guys. It was him making some plays and some throws that he shouldn't have made. So I just want to see growth as a, understanding the defense and really leading this offense and making plays like he's capable of making. Because at the end of the day, we can have all the great quotes. We can yell at everybody, you know, that they're not doing their job. But at the end of the day, you're the quarterback. You're the guy that needs to lead the offense to get some points, and it relies on you.
I like it. I also like this song for you. Here we go, Chris.
Baby, you send me. That's the jam.
Right? We're just going to ease into this segment. We're going to ease into feeling good about things, dude, put you in a good mood,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Dude, that's one of my favorite songs, PM Dawn. Come
that's
on,
right.
Man.
I see you
that's the jam.
Bouncing around Columbus doing that song.
Champ, I had the MC Hammer pants on, and my gear was absolutely awful.
Listen, this football team now, you head into an 0-4. You go out to Arizona. We talked last week about one certain receiver had a pretty good coming out party in 1997 named Chris Sanders out in there. You had a hell of a game versus the Cardinals one day on the road out there.
That was Dwayne.
That was Dwayne.
Right. Yeah. So why can't – I mean, look, you guys went out there. Nobody thought you were going to win that game.
Absolutely.
I mean, why can't they win this game on Sunday? I know the obvious about play calling and yada, yada, yada. Sure. But at some point, you're going to win a game.
Yeah, but see, here's the deal. Your stars have to shine. They have to. Cavarilli is a star. Jeffrey Simmons is a star. You know, some other guys are stars. They're just not showing up. And if you don't have your stars not making plays, you're not going to win ball games. Because if you look at the league around, there's a guy on offense, there's a guy on defense that you know that's going to make plays. You look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, offense right now and defense, you have some guys that potentially can make plays, but they're just not making plays, and that's why you sit in a situation to where they're 0-4. I mean, it just it breaks my heart because you went on the offseason, you went and bolstered your offensive line, you got Cavarilli, you went and got some young wide receivers. I just don't understand why these guys are not making plays. So if their stars can shine in this game, like Cavarilli, Jeffrey Simmons, and I don't know if Sweat's playing, but if those stars can start to play, then maybe you can turn this thing around.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I brought it up to you when you did the pregame show last Sunday about your game out in Arizona.
Oh, friends, man.
Out in the audience, and we love Chris Sanders. I'm not telling you this because you're on the show with us. But that catch you made in Arizona, when you had to turn back, when the sun was blazing, and you caught that 50-yard, 60-yard bomb from McNair, one of the best catches
I've ever seen.
Was Coach Mack the coach of the Cardinals at the time?
He was not.
No, but it was called a twist, not a twist, it was both go routes. But it was kind of like, it's called switch, to where the number one wide receiver goes in and I go out. And the guy that was covering me was Aeneas Williams. And as Aeneas Williams is covering me, I knew he was a little older, so I knew I could run by him. But Mack threw a phenomenal pass just right in the breadbasket. It's funny because when you talk about the sun, I actually couldn't even see where the ball was until it actually was in my hands. So it was a great play by Steve McNair.
What year was that?
97.
90s. Dang, that is
Coach cool. Mack was the defensive coordinator.
Oh, was he?
Yep. Who was the head coach on that team? Was it Buddy Ryan?
Let's see. This was
Mike Munchak.
97.
Hang on. Ask your next question.
I'll do that. No, but I'm telling you. But look, you got an opportunity, and you proved it, and you didn't let him down, and you gave it.
Yeah.
So that's my thing with like calling
Vince Tobin.
Vince Tobin, yeah, the former Bears coach. Yeah. So, look, that's the thing, is that the opportunity presents itself there. When you get the opportunity, take advantage of it. You got to do that to win games. And if everybody's on the same page and things are clicking like you guys were that day, man, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it is, because the thing about it is when your back is against the wall, you're going to come out swinging or you're going to sit there and get swung on. I mean, it's just that simple. So when we were there in 1997, everybody was talking how bad he was. Everybody was talking all this crazy stuff. So we went out there in Arizona and said, you know, we're gonna punch him square in the face. So if you got the Tennessee Titans right now, they need to have that same attitude. Come out and punch somebody in the face. I'm not saying actually swing at somebody. I'm talking about come out, be physical on defense, be physical on offense. But at the end of the day, your guys have to make plays. Your quarterback's got to make plays. Your offensive line has to protect. You got your defensive line that needs to put pressure on the quarterback. Those are the things that I want to see. And then in the secondary, you can't keep giving up explosive plays every single game. And I just think that they need to change some things.
Chris Sanders is with us. As a player, When the play caller calls in a trick play, how do you take that? Do you get excited about it? Are you like, man, I don't know if this is the right time? Like, because you know this, Chris.
Yes.
If it works, you're the smartest person on the face of this earth.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I like it when I'm a part of it. But if I'm not a part of it, like, man, what are we doing this for? And then the thing about it is, in practice – we work on that because it's situational ball. We call it situational ball to where if we're running, you know, sweep left and sweep right, then all of a sudden we get them going and we throw a pass backside. You have a trick play like that. If it works, you get excited. But at the end of the day, if that doesn't work, then you put your team back in a hole. But at the end of the day, hey, I love to see some trick plays.
But the thing, I guess I'm asking is, you know, like the Music City Miracle, for instance, I think Jeff said they worked on it every week.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. I don't know. Come on, man. What are we talking about, Willis?
Well,
I didn't know it was called the home run throwback until we actually did it.
No, I don't think anybody did. Well, okay.
True story.
All right, but coaches will say, like, these are, you know, like, they run a play like that. It's like, oh, we work on this every week in case we need to use it. But you basically just answered my question for me. Because how many guys are going to be like, yeah, we're never going to use this and just kind of, you know, half-step it?
Yeah, because the thing about it is we work on it, you know, in practice. We have our dirty dozen of plays that we're going to run in the game, but then also we have about six or seven trick plays. And I'm going to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to run it because there's some things in the games that happen to where it doesn't allow you to do it. You got to do it at the right time. And here's the cool part about the whole thing. You, as an offensive coordinator, you have to have a feel of what's going on in the game. If you don't have a feel of what's going on in the game, you call a trick play and it'll blow up in your face. You got to understand the situation. You got to understand what's at hand, and you got to understand what the defense is doing. So it's not just calling a trick play. It's understanding, finding out the tendencies of the defense to make sure that works.
So here's my thing, though. I saw a game a few weeks ago. Offense is moving down the field really good, and they call a stupid trick play. And the receiver drops the ball handed to him, and it goes for a 21-yard loss.
I know.
If you're kicking and cruising on all cylinders, don't do a stupid trick play.
See,
keep doing what works. If you're desperate, do it because the team's thinking, they'll never do this, and you're a trick play. But when things are working, don't pull out a trick play.
Yeah, I remember it's funny that we're talking about this. I remember in year 2000, we were playing the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas. And we're just marching down the field, and Derek Mason's catching a pass. I caught one pass, and we're just grinding. Then all of a sudden, we call a trick play to try to throw it to Bruce Matthews, and we try to throw it to Bruce Matthews, and Mac throws an interception. So I you see what I'm saying? So why not be like, okay, if we're at the 4-yard line, just run Eddie outside zone, just run Eddie inside zone, and hit him in the mouth. You just got to know when to run it. I'm going to give you another example. When you're talking about running it at the right time, look at when Philly was in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it's called the Philly Special. Nobody expected it. Nobody even thought. But then all of a sudden you run the Philly Special and the defense is out of position. They score, win the game. You just got to know when to run it.
Right. And Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, talked about they ran that play through practice.
Yes.
And it always worked. And the guy's like, it's going to work. And they were stuck down the goal lines like, all right, how are we going to do this? Because New England knows what we're going to do. They called it, ran it. That was the perfect time to do that.
Yep.
Because you got to do a trick play with the element of surprise.
Yeah,
New England had no idea that was coming.
See, that's when they're running. But here's the great part about it is they've been running into practice over and over and over again, but the leader of your team went to the quarterback and said, Coach, let's run the Philly Special. And the coach said, okay, I got you. And then that's when they ran it. Nick Foles. It was Nick Foles who Foles.
Yep, yeah.
They caught the pass. But he went to the coach and said, Coach, that play we've been practicing in practice every single play. Coach,
Philly.
Yep, and he said, okay, let's do it at the crucial part of the game. And that was the perfect time to do it. So, man, take hat off to your leader and take a hat off to your head coach.
Let me ask you, all right, you ran this play in practice with Bruce Matthews. Did y'all laugh? Because the guy is a massive, huge man.
Yeah, I know. Yes, and he's hairy.
He's the hairiest man in America.
Oh, he's the hairiest guy in America. But we're running it in practice, and I'm like, man, what?
Are you sure this is a good idea?
Are you sure? Yeah, are you sure?
Did he always catch it in practice?
It was like fighting. It was like he had on two handcuffs trying to catch the football. But, you know, we ran it in the game, and on Christmas Day, the lights is on, and the offensive coordinator calls it, and Mac throws an interception because they're like, this is awful. So it didn't work.
Holy cow.
Chris, who the Big Red got?
Man, we have CPA, man. Great team, great coach.
Yeah.
So they're hungry for a win. I think they're 1-5, but their record does not, you know, determine how they look. I mean, they're physical. They got a good quarterback, great receivers. We just got to go out there and play big, great ball, be physical, hit them in the mouth, and do what we do.
Well, good luck. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you, as always, joining us here on the program.
You, appreciate you. I love y'all, man.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program, as he always does. We'll react to some of that and some of the Titans reports coming out of practice. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.